You're listening to The Hour of the Time. I'm William Cooper. I want to read to you a short letter, ladies and gentlemen. No, let's... Uh-oh. I think I hear the fact. Gene, are you on there?
That's me.
Okay. Folks, let's go to Phoenix for the Metal Report with Gene Miller. Good evening, Gene.
Good evening, Bill. How you doing?
Good. Hey, just hang on. Just start talking, Gene. I'm going to go back and disconnect that fact.
Fact is going on there, yeah.
Okay, go ahead.
All right. The gold today had a high of 388, a low of 386.4, closed at 388.30, up $1.30. Silver had a high of 588, a low of 569, to close at 585, up 13 cents. Platinum had a high of 448.90. and a low of 441.10, to close at $444.40, up $1.30 also. The Dow had a high of 43.27.10, a low of 43.01.50, to close at 43.16, down $5.20. In the numismatic market, we're still seeing a great deal of activity taking place in there. Seems to be a lot of people. Coins are up anywhere from on the low end, 8.5%, on the high end, up near 30%. I have to apologize for all the commotion here. I got a phone ringing here on my end.
Well, at least that's waking everybody up.
Oh, thanks, huh, Bill?
Everybody's awake now.
Yeah, I got somebody answering the other line. One thing I wanted to offer here, and I hope that don't make this too confusing, but I have to stress, this is just something that I'm doing on my own, so this is something for the people that are my clients. So if you're a client, if you're listening tonight, you're a client of mine, Gene Miller, you've done business with me, this is something that, you know, I am personally offering, the company's not offering, the other brokers aren't offering, so don't call them and ask them for it. This is something that I'm doing myself. But I got, you know, I've got several hundred clients out there, and they're enjoying the benefits of owning, you know, owning gold and whatnot. And so I want to put you to work. So if you're listening, here's the offer. If you and you can give me a call tomorrow, and I'll give you the details. But basically, what it entails is anybody you go out and get as a reference, and I'll provide the material for you, the literature, the newsletters, the brochures, all that stuff for you to give to friends, relatives, whoever. But anybody you end up referring that does business with me, I want to split the commission with you. So it's an opportunity for you to make some money. You can take it in silver. You can take it in gold. You can take it in worthless Federal Reserve notes. I don't care. I would think you'd want gold or silver. Whatever way you want to do it. But if you're a client of mine, and I have to stress that, if you're a client of mine, give me a call tomorrow if you're interested. Some of the people in California and Texas already know about it. I'll give you the details if you give me a holler tomorrow. But anyhow, those of you that haven't called, call and get our newsletter. Call and get our new brochure on gold coins. There's a lot of activity taking place in the silver market, so you might want to check that out. A lot of people buying just silver itself. Market is seeming to pick up some pretty decent momentum, so you want to get on the bandwagon there. But give us a call, 1-800-289-2646, 1-800-BUY-COIN.
Thank you, Gene.
You're welcome.
We'll see you next Monday night.
All right.
Good night.
Okay.
Okay, now I want to read this letter, folks. By the way, that's really something when the salesman offers to split his commission with you. So I'd jump on that if I were you. Let me read this letter to you. Dear Bill, This evening at approximately 5:34 p.m. local Arizona time, and by the way, that was on April the 21st, it's dated. This evening at approximately 5:34 p.m. local Arizona time, the national news cast from Peter Jennings really laid it on extra thick in covering, and I use this term with sarcasm, the bomb blast in Oklahoma City. The piece showed the traditional big lie approach. Within just a few minutes, Jennings tied together the blast, terrorist organizations, the Michigan militia, Linda Thompson, Randy Weaver, Waco, and a supremacist that was executed in Varner, Arkansas. The Anti-Defamation League, which is really the Defamation League, folks, was quoted from their article on the militia as well. All of the pure pedals came across just as we would expect it to. The militia will be demonized in the press, is what I remember you having said time and again, with lie upon lie and half-truth upon half-truth. And he's right. I called it 100% right on the nose. He continues, during Jennings' act, an article from today's newspapers was shown on the screen. I haven't closed that article, and I've marked the portion that ABC flashed on the screen as A. The very next sentence in the article, which I have marked B, was not shown at all. Curiously, I just read the whole article not 15 minutes before the Jennings Act came on the idiot box. Now, folks, that article talks about this guy that was executed in Varner, Arkansas, was supposed to have killed a man who was a Jew. And it says it right in that paragraph that they showed on the Peter Jennings Circus Act. Now, Peter Jennings knew this full well. In that newspaper article, the very next paragraph stated that the man definitely was not a Jew. He was an Episcopalian. So you can see how you're being lied to, and you see how Jews are being pitted against everybody else. Blacks are being pitted against whites and Jews and Koreans, and whites are the bad guys and all of this stuff. This is, Hegel and Karl Marx would just be hugging each other with glee if they could see how well their dialectic and their agents are working. Let me see. The way that the piece flowed on the screen was really smooth and well polished, I would say. And that's the letter. These professional liars are indeed extremely good at what they do. How they can sleep at night, even just a very few minutes, is beyond my comprehension. I cannot in the least believe that these creeps do not know exactly what they are doing at every single moment. I would myself have the most terrifying nightmares if I were doing what these pieces of rat vomit do so willingly every day. These people could not possibly believe in the God that I believe in, as I am positive that God must be awfully angry with them. Unfortunately, your assessment of events unfolding is correct. I must say here that I know full well that hate is wrong, but that I cannot help but really, really, really hate these for their lies and actions. Signed, Jerry. And that's just about the way everybody feels, folks. This is backfiring for them. The militia has never, ever in its history had so many recruits coming in, so many calls for information, so many people wanting to join. I probably have the biggest mailbag today than I have received in a long, long time. It's overflowing. It's going to keep me busy for a long time, and I don't need to be busy any busier than I already am, but I will dig in it. Don't go away. I'll be right back. Got a lot of important stuff to talk about tonight.
All of a sudden, in the middle of the night, there's a loud knock on your door. Hey, Hank. Something's not right.
Watch your arms. It's the Bob Passer. We're here from the government. We're here to help you.
And I'm from the IRS with a power of tax. If you've got a complaint, send us a fax.
Get out of this house. Serve your taxes. Give me your gold. You better obey if you want to hold. That's the best I can do with your toe.
Hillary Salala, Reno Janet Dyke, reading the words of General Albert Pike. demonic founder of the Ku Klux Klan, engineer of the Masonic Master Plan. Pike said Lucifer is God across this land. And Clinton saying take the mark in your right hand. While we're all dancing to the drums of uproar of right, Clinton's preparing us for another new tax hike. Order out of chaos, depression, inflation, creates a panic and rapes the nation. Crisis creation. Incite black and white, program agitation. With your right hand. While we're all dancing to the drums of uproar of right, Clinton's preparing us for another new tax hike. Order out of chaos.
That's right, folks. Order out of chaos. Did you know that in the Los Angeles Times today, Jesse Jackson called me a white supremacist? Jesse Jackson. You know that lying scumbag who makes a living pitting the races against each other? Jesse Jackson, the man who called New York City Hymietown, called me a white supremacist? No, I think he's a black supremacist. I think he's a racist from the word go, and I think he's a communist, too. He makes his living pitting blacks against Jews, blacks against whites, blacks against Koreans. I'm here trying to bring us all together under a common bond called liberty. My wife is Chinese. I'm part American Indian. My daughter is Chinese, American Indian, English, Scotch, and Irish. I guess she's just about white supremacist out of her mind. I have never seen anyone who could spout so many lies so quickly in such a proliferation of deception and manipulation, and it's backfiring. Americans all across this country are scratching their head and saying, something's going on here. They're attacking America. And that's exactly what they're doing. The Constitution Party will have its first Los Angeles area meeting Wednesday, May 17th. Doors open at 6 p.m. Be there. Airport Marina Hotel, West Los Angeles, just north of the Los Angeles Airport. Call 310-670-8111 for directions. That's 310-670-8111 for directions. Free admission and parking. Donations are welcome, of course. We intend to field a constitutionally committed candidate for president and vice president for the 96 elections. And I'm going to tell you, if a Democrat or a Republican, it doesn't matter which, and it doesn't matter what their name is, and it doesn't matter how many lies they tell you to get elected, if either one of those two people win, we lose this country. And that's a fact. Now, as I promised you Friday, let's get back into the hooly-gooly here. Gorbachev, the Gorbachev Foundation, in the Presidio, the oldest active duty army installation in this country. Gorbachev was there before it was legal for him to occupy any of the buildings under the law. He wrote a book called Mikhail Gorbachev, Perestroika, New Thinking for Our Country and the World. How many of you have read it? Not many, I bet. Because, oh, it's probably boring, and he's just talking about politics. What do you think makes the world go round, folks? If you don't know what in the world is going on, you're just going to be the flotsam and jetsam up on the tide. Remember, whoever doesn't understand what's happening ain't playing with a full deck of cards. And if you think you can stand on the fence, you're the first one that'll suffer. And that's the truth. Listen to what he says. Quote, we will now firmly stick to the line that only through the consistent development of the democratic forms inherent in socialism and through the expansion of self-government can we make progress in production, science and technology, culture and art, and in all social spheres. He says, listen to this and listen carefully. I've always told you that socialism is nothing but a code word for democracy, and democracy is nothing but a code word for socialism. Listen, right out of the mouth of the man who led the greatest communist dictatorship in the world. Quote, in the West, Lenin is often portrayed as an advocate of authoritarian methods of administration. This is a sign of total ignorance of Lenin's ideas and not infrequently of their deliberate distortion. In effect, according to Lenin, socialism and democracy are indivisible. That's on page 32 of Mikhail Gorbachev's book called Perestroika. There's an interesting quote on the front page of Veritas in this upcoming issue, made by the Dean of Broadcasting, Walter Cronkite. If you don't think the media has an agenda, wait till you get your paper. According to Gorbachev, perestroika means mass initiative. Perestroika means mass initiative. Initiative. Going on the attack. Do you understand what I'm telling you? It is the comprehensive development of democracy, socialist self-government. Encouragement of initiative and creative endeavor, improved order and discipline, more glasnost, criticism, and self-criticism in all spheres of our society. When are you going to wake up, folks? We are in the midst of one of the greatest propaganda campaigns in the history of the world, aimed at destroying the patriotism of the American people and turning the stupid sheep against the backbone of the country, the people who have always been the first to stand up and defend freedom in the face of all enemies. All fundamentalist religions are under attack. The Christian religion is under attack. The Islamic faith is under attack. Orthodox Judaism is under full-blown attack. Liberty is under attack. Patriotism is under attack. The Constitution is under attack. Anyone who believes in the Constitution is under attack. Anyone who has ever visited the state of Michigan is under attack. If you filled up your tank with diesel oil today, you are a suspect. Did you know that? If you have ammonium nitrate on your farm, you're a suspect. Did you know that? All of the things that they say they found at the Nichols Farm in Michigan are things that you can find on any farm in this country. Now, I'm not telling you they're innocent, folks. I'm just telling you that they're being convicted on circumstantial evidence that you could convict any farmer on. And they haven't even gone to trial yet. Were you aware, folks, that the man that they're saying was Timothy McVeigh in Kingman, Arizona? The one who wore camouflage fatigues and was drunk all the time and would always walk around with a gun and shoot automatic weapons out of the back of the trailer park into the desert? Did you know our investigation has revealed that that man is not Timothy McVeigh? That we have found that man, and he is very upset. Very upset. Did you know that everybody who knew Timothy McVeigh while he was in Kingman, Arizona, says that he was a nice, polite, quiet young man who kept to himself and didn't cause anybody any trouble at any time? Did you know that the news media knows all of these facts and they're not reporting them? Did you know that it has come to our attention that the so-called concealed weapon for which Timothy McVeigh was arrested for was not a gun? That he had a gun, but he was carrying it legally and lawfully. And in the state of Arizona, there's nothing wrong with having a gun in your car. Or in the state of Oklahoma. Or in the state of Texas. Now they're saying it was a knife. This stinks more and more and more and more. And we've also found, ladies and gentlemen, a second seismograph report. And we've also discovered that the FBI is confiscating the seismographic records. That's right. The original seismographic records are being confiscated. If the employees of the seismographic facilities where we have obtained our reports had not made copies, they would not be available to anyone. We now have seismographic records from two different sites. Both clearly show two separate events, two separate explosions. Both of these seismographic records show 10 seconds between the explosions. Wait till you see this newspaper. It's going to tip Washington on its ear. And that ain't all. Oh, we've got so much, folks, that you're... Well, I can't tell you all of it. Can't tell you all of it. Okay, more quotes. Quotes from Gorbachev. Oh, this takes the cake, folks. See, they're not hiding any of this stuff. I told you the breakdown of the Soviet Union was just a ruse. It came from the top down, not from the people. And the economy of the Soviet Union did not disintegrate. You see, the ruble was not floated on the world market. The ruble always was and always has been and always will be what they say it is. And that's the truth of the matter. The Soviet Union came tumbling down because it was time to deceive the West for the socialist takeover of the world. And now, the big campaign is mounted. The dialectic is at work to destroy patriotism and loyalty to the Constitution in this nation. To destroy loyalty to your religions. Do you know that Norm Olson, the commander of the Michigan militia, resigned? And he should have, after his dismal performance with the press and as a leader. And I'm not trying to rub it in, Norm, if you're listening. It's just that you should have stepped down, and you did, which tells me that in your heart you really are a leader. You did the proper thing. But you should not have resigned from your church. You should have allowed the congregation to walk out because those people are not Christians. You see, the congregation of the church that Norm Olson pastors asked him to leave, or they would leave, because they were afraid that they would all be shot in a raid by the federal government because of Norm Olson's participation in the Michigan militia, even after he had resigned. These people are not Christians. They don't even know the definition of the word. They are gutless sheep being led by the wolves. They will be sheared, and then they will be slaughtered. And that is the truth. Gorbachev goes on to say, but in principle I can say that the end result of perestroika is clear to us. It is a thorough renewal of every aspect of Soviet life. It is giving socialism the most progressive forms of social organization. It is the fullest exposure of the humanist nature of our social system in its crucial aspects, economic, social, political, and moral. The essence of perestroika lies in the fact that it unites socialism with democracy and revives the Leninist concept of socialist construction, both in theory and in practice. Bill Clinton was learning this as a young man. At a time when no American was allowed to go to Russia, Clinton went to Moscow for his indoctrination. He has been prepared all his life to lead America into the socialist New World government. Listen to this, quote, those who hope that we shall move away from the socialist path will be greatly disappointed. Every part of our program of perestroika, and the program as a whole, for that matter, is fully based on the principle of more socialism and more democracy. What is democracy? According to Lenin, democracy and socialism are the same. Indivisible, he says. We will proceed toward better socialism rather than away from it. We are saying this honestly without trying to fool our own people or the world. Any hopes that we will begin to build a different non-socialist society and go over to the other camp are unrealistic and futile. We, the Soviet people, are for socialism. We want more socialism and therefore more democracy. See, you're being fooled because you don't know the meanings of the words. And when I say fooled, I mean fooled big time. And George Bush said this, and you can find it in the weekly compilation of presidential documents, AE 2.109:25/47. Quote, and this is George Bush talking, "I will assure him that there is no greater advocate of perestroika than the President of the United States," end quote. Think I'm crazy? All these stupid parrots, the puke-faced, lying propaganda experts of the communist news networks say that we spread rumors. You don't hear rumors on this broadcast. You never have. What I tell you, I cite. I have challenged you to prove me wrong, and no one ever has. In fact, everyone who has set out to prove me wrong, using the citations that I give, come back as allies, strong allies, who then begin to spread the word to other people. We are in the midst of a full-blown takeover of the world by international socialism. The world government will be totalitarian in nature and will be a cross between what Hitler brought about in Nazi Germany and what used to be the old Soviet Union. Bush also said this, "We stand today at a unique and extraordinary moment. The crisis in the Persian Gulf, as grave as it is, also offers a rare opportunity to move toward an historic period of cooperation. Out of these troubled times, our fifth objective, a new world order, can emerge." Today, that new world is struggling to be born, a world quite different from the one we've known. End quote. Now, just what do you think he's talking about? A trip to Disneyland? Listen to this. Quote, and this is George Bush talking, "This is the vision that I shared with President Gorbachev in Helsinki. He and other leaders from Europe, the Gulf, and around the world understand that how we manage this crisis today could shape the future for generations to come. The test we face is great, and so are the stakes. This is the first assault on the new world that we seek, the first test of our mettle." And in the administration of George Bush, 1991, February the 6th, page 145. "Mr. President, you have talked several times about basing the future on a new world order. Can you give us a definition of the new world order? And if it depends upon the collaboration between the Soviet Union and the United States, how do events in the Soviet Union affect this concept?" George Bush. "Well, it doesn't depend entirely on it, but it would be greatly enhanced by a Soviet Union that goes down the line with its commitment to market reform, to private ownership of land, to a free economic system, to a system that resists and does not use force to assure order amongst the republics, that goes farther down the road with elections and all the openness that I gave President Gorbachev credit for, and as well as the openness in terms of glasnost and the reforms in terms of perestroika." Now, George Bush knows full well what perestroika means. Gorbachev determined the definition. It's his phrase. And Bush says, "We're going to continue to support those concepts," but it was this. "It was the far-sighted vision of Mr. Gorbachev that enabled us to work together in the United Nations. Now, my vision of a new world order foresees a United Nations with a revitalized peacekeeping function." Is there something out there between your ears that's beginning to flutter a little bit, I hope? If not, you're farther gone than I ever dreamed. How stupid is America? How set in your wool suit are you? How easy is it to guide you with the propaganda of the communist news networks? George Bush goes on. He says, when I was ambassador 20 years ago in the United Nations, we hardly ever voted with the Soviet Union. Now we're with them on many things. So the new world order, I think, foresees a revitalized peacekeeping function of the United Nations. And he says, I don't think anyone there wants to go back to that. And so it would envision, though, much more cooperation between the United Nations. Excuse me, let me start over. I don't want to misquote this. And so it would envision, though, much more cooperation between the United States and the Soviet Union and on matters of the Gulf and international matters, not bilateral. It envisions a greatly enhanced peacekeeping function of the United Nations itself, exactly as the State Department publication 7. Continued relations with China, and I think it is vital to this new world order. And he said that in the midst of Tiananmen Square. Here we have an address to the nation announcing Allied military action in the Persian Gulf, January 16, 1991. And he says, and I quote, "We have before us the opportunity to forge for ourselves and for future generations a new world order, a world where the rule of law, not the law of the jungle, governs the conduct of nations. When we are successful, and we will be, we have a real chance at this new world order, an order in which a credible United Nations can use its peacekeeping role to fulfill the promise and vision of the United Nations founders." Now, what do you think he's talking about, huh? Come on. Come on, all you brilliant people of the press. Tell me that. You traitorous, scumbag, puke-faced commies. It's exactly what you are. You're helping to destroy this country, and you're doing it as an agenda, as a part of a plan. And anybody with even the half brain that Rush Limbaugh is sitting on can see it. And it's not a conspiracy. It is fully documented. It is out in the open. There is no doubt about it. Read Veritas. We prove it. We don't talk about it on this show. We don't just write about it or pass down rumors in our newspaper Veritas. We prove it. We prove every word of it. Los Angeles Times, Saturday, February the 1st, 1992. World leaders urge United Nations to safeguard rights everywhere. Summit. Chiefs of state declare it is time to abandon the tradition of non-interference in nations' affairs. Global interdependence, cited by Boutros-Ghali. They cite they want to move to protect human rights everywhere in the world. How can they do that if the United States is sovereign? How can they do that if they don't have military might over the United States? Come on, start thinking, dummies! Chiefs of state and heads of government, ranging from President Bush and Russian leader Boris M. Yeltsin to Moroccan King Hassan II, declared that the world community can no longer allow advancement of fundamental rights to stop at national borders. And they suggested the United Nations should play a more active role in combating abuses, even if that means involving itself in issues that would once been regarded as off-limits to the world body because they involved a country's internal affairs. Most of the assembled leaders appeared to share French President François Mitterrand's call for establishment of a new world order.
And it goes on and on and on and on and on. The United Nations, at a time of great expectations for a new United Nations era of boldness. Totally committed to the United Nations. Significant turning point in the history of the organization. What do you think they're talking about, huh? They're going to have a picnic at the United Nations? Well, if they are, you weren't invited. Bush's voice muted, it says. Allies take summit initiative to establish new world order. I could go on and on. I could read this stuff to you all night long. In fact, I could read this stuff to you 24 hours a day for 3 weeks. We have thousands of documents here all saying the same thing. In the law, in the treaties, in the congressional record, in the Federal Register, in the comments by senators and representatives upon the floor of Congress. They all know what's happening. They're lying to the American people. They can't have their new world order if patriots exist who are ready to fight for the Constitution. They cannot have their new world order if Americans are armed. You watch. The terror and the killing will escalate until the sheep get down on their knees and beg to be disarmed so that they can be safe. I wrote about it in my book years ago. Everything that I wrote in my book has come true, in spades, all of it. I'm getting calls from people who used to call me crazy saying, Bill, you called it right. I can't believe it. I thought you were nuts. Everything you said is happening. If I'm full of crap, folks, how come it's all coming true? You see, this is a result of years of research. Studying these people in their secret societies and in their international organizations and in their coming to power in the countries around the world, in the history of the world. It's easy to predict what they're going to do. It is so easy. I saw in a major newspaper on the front page, ladies and gentlemen, Bill Clinton holding in front of his face one red rose. I told you. And if you don't know what that means, don't scratch your head and don't bother trying to learn, because it takes hours and hours and hours to understand the significance of the symbology of these organizations. UN force. Beef up UN's peace role. Beware of UN force. A future UN army might even be used against the USA or against US interests. These are all in the newspapers, folks. You didn't read them, did you? You think this is all baloney. You don't know how to put two and two together. But that's our job here. We are the intelligence service. Our job is to accumulate tons of data and sift through it and analyze it. And we are always assembling two puzzles. One is the deception and one is the truth. And in the middle there's a big box with a question mark on it. We read everything. We devour everything. We listen to everything. Words have meaning. Nothing is hidden. These people are talking to you and you're not listening, and they know you will not listen. One of their tenets is that a nation or world of people who will not use their intelligence are no better than animals who do not have intelligence. Such people are beasts of burden and stakes on the table by choice and consent. And yes, Mr. Couch Potato, I am talking to you. Most people go stumbling through life thinking that the only important problems that they have are keeping a job long enough to get a paycheck so that they can go out and drink Budweiser all night and then get laid sometime before morning. I got news for you. That's the quickest road to slavery I know. 47th General Assembly, increased responsibilities, a wider, more practical role, becoming a functional world parliament. Becoming a functional world parliament. United Nations Chronicle, March 1993. The General Assembly is facing an historic challenge to truly become a functional world parliament on the basis of the United Nations Charter. Direct quote. The United Nations must become truly effective and swiftly responsive to the new world order. He emphasized the importance of realizing the Assembly's full potential as an unprecedented world parliament. What do you think that means? World parliament. We must commit ourselves fully to the idea of a fair division of the riches of the earth. Establish a new world economic order. A redistribution of wealth. What do you think these trade agreements are about? What do you think the reason that the dollar is plunging is? You see, because the dollar can't plunge. It's a unit of measurement, like a yardstick. It measures a specific amount of gold and silver coins, which we don't deal in. So how can the dollar fall? How stupid can we be? When are you going to wake up? New world order. Emerging new order. All through here, the United Nations should have its own dedicated and committed army units on a permanent basis. New world order that will bring an improvement to the quality of life of all humanity. Don't you believe it? The tribes in the Amazon will have a better life, and we will be relegated to third world nation status. And that's what's happening. All assembly resolutions, speakers said, must be implemented. Agreement was widespread for the creation of a new international order. Five principles of mutual respect for sovereign and territorial integrity, mutual non-aggression, non-interference in each other's internal affairs, equality and mutual benefit, and peaceful coexistence, a new world order. The UN was the only forum where we can concert our actions to construct new arrangements for global peace and prosperity. What we need to work for is a new international order free from war, poverty, illiteracy, and injustice. You fall for that, ladies and gentlemen, then you deserve everything that you get. Socialism sucks, and so do socialists. They always have, and they always will. Socialism destroys people, it destroys nations, it destroys communities, it destroys self-respect. It is the most destructive form of government and economic society on the face of this earth. And if you don't believe that, just look throughout history and see where socialism has come to power. And look what it has accomplished. And these little twit fools that graduate from our universities today, who are taught about Marxism by these scumbag, treasonous professors, will tell you, oh, that's because it's never been implemented in its perfect form. You little idiots. If you had fathers, you might have learned better. I can go on. I can go on all night and all day and all the next day. I can go on and on and on and on and on. Think I'm full of it, huh? Did you ever hear of the Open Skies Treaty? The Open Skies Treaty will enhance international security. Did you know that all of our B-52 bombers are being guillotined in the desert of Arizona? Did you know that? Cut into three pieces, each one of them. And they're being done in the open, and we have to do so many, every so many days, so that the Russian overflights can ensure that we are truly disarming. We also have Russian inspectors here in the United States supervising every aspect of the disarmament and the decrease in the military forces of the United States of America. That's right. And at the same time, we have hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of tanks and rocket launchers and military vehicles that used to belong to the Soviet Army coming into this country, and they're being stockpiled all over the nation. Why? It's not for training. It's not for training at all. And the location of most of these things are not anywhere near where training is conducted with this type of vehicles. Why is it that small 8-seat planes fly in and out of the St. John's Airport with East German pilots filling all the seats? They're not learning to fly, ladies and gentlemen. They already know how to fly. They're pilots. They used to be pilots in the Soviet Army. They're learning the terrain where they will fly aircraft and helicopters as the peacekeeping forces of the United Nations when the American people finally discover how they've been betrayed and rise up against the traitors. I don't want that to ever happen. The whole purpose of everything I've done, the reason I wrote Behold a Pale Horse, and the reason I began broadcasting on this radio station, was to wake up enough people so that that never has to happen. If you don't wake up, it's going to happen. The Open Skies Treaty. First, the treaty empowers all signatory states, regardless of size, wealth, or level of technology, to acquire meaningful security information on neighboring countries. This will enhance the confidence of all participants and enable them to play more responsible roles in maintaining regional and international security. In this regard, moreover, by generating information which can be easily shared and discussed among participants, the Open Skies Treaty will avoid the difficulties encountered in working with restricted information. Second, the treaty nails down the key principle of full territorial openness. All the territory of all the participants will be open to observation, including specifically all the territory of states which formerly restricted large portions of their territory on grounds of national security. Third, the treaty dramatically advances the tools available for confidence building. Over the past two decades, the array of confidence-building measures has expanded steadily. Now the Open Skies Treaty adds to this toolkit detailed procedures for aerial observation with agreed sensors, predetermined quotas, and no right of refusal. That includes us. Can't refuse them a flyover. It also establishes a new framework for contacts, cooperation, and consultation among participating states. It also says if we have better reconnaissance imaging capability, that we must give all of the other nation states who are participating in the Open Skies Treaty the same technology, whether they have it or not. The Open Skies Treaty provides that all of the territory of participating states must be open to observation. No exceptions are permitted for national security purposes. Observation flights will follow routes set by the observing party, not the party being observed. And I could go on and on and on and on. But I've been doing that for almost 3 years, haven't I? And I've documented almost every single thing that you've heard over this broadcast, and you're still out there saying, it can't happen here. This is America. I got news for you, folks. This is not America. Listen to this. The former head of the Russian KGB takes over a United States military post in San Francisco. The peace dividend Gorbachev Pro Democracy Foundation opens office at Bay Area's Presidio, Los Angeles Times, April 17, 1993, page A23. Pro Democracy Foundation. Remember the definition for democracy? Listen to this, by Jennifer Warren, Times staff writer, San Francisco. In an event that would have been unfathomable a few years ago, former Soviet President Mikhail S. Gorbachev opened an office Friday on one of America's most hallowed military posts, the Presidio of San Francisco. What kind of a message do you think that sends? Gorbachev, who resigned from office in 1991 as the Soviet Union crumbled, was given the key to new digs for his pro-democracy foundation by the Presidio's commanding general in a ceremony rich with irony and, get this, symbolism.
Please accept this key as a gesture of our goodwill and our best wishes to you as the newest Presidian, Lieutenant General Glenn C. Mallory, Jr., told Gorbachev.
And here's what he said. I assure you this key is in reliable hands. The world's former top communist replied with a grin. The Gorbachev Foundation, USA, was invited to sink roots at the Presidio as part of the post-conversion from the headquarters of the 6th United States Army to a national park. And when they did this, it was not legal to do so. The Army will vacate the Presidio next year, and the National Park Service is reviewing 350 proposals for potential uses in the new park. They're kicking us out of the national parks, and they're putting Gorbachev in there. Now listen what he says. The entire Presidio is spectacular, but he got one of the best spots, and that's for sure. Gorbachev launched his Moscow-based foundation. Listen to this. It's a Moscow-based foundation. Gorbachev launched his Moscow-based foundation soon after resigning as president, declaring as his top goals global peace and the strengthening of democracy in the former Soviet republics. On Friday, few who attended the ceremony failed to herald the historic significance of Gorbachev, a one-time Cold War adversary, setting up shop on the oldest continually operating military base in the United States. This is the symbol of our irreversible transition from an era of confrontation and militaristic insanity to a new world order, one that promises dividends for all. And you think I'm full of it, huh? Here's a copy of the Gorbachev Foundation USA, Our Collective Mission. Now, what do you think that word collective means, huh? Box 29434, The Presidio, San Francisco, California, 94129. Here's the telephone number, 415-771-4567. That's the Gorbachev Foundation, USA, Box 29434, The Presidio, San Francisco, California, 94129. Telephone number, 415-771-4567. And in it, guess what he talks about? Redefining global security, ethnic conflict, and humanitarian assistance. It is a tax-exempt nonprofit institute dedicated to, and get this, folks, social, political, and geostrategic change in the post-Cold War era. And folks, it clearly says in here, clearly outlines the fact that what they're trying to put together is a socialist New World Order under the United Nations, with the United Nations acting as the police force for the world. And on page 102, in the San Francisco phone book, it lists the Gorbachev Foundation. Just in case you think I'm full of it again. And we can go through here, Wednesday, May 5th, 1993, USA Today, UN needs permanent peacekeeping force. Chicago Tribune, Sunday, July 4th, 93. Should the UN have an army? Thursday, July 8th, 1993. Clinton yearns for big idea discussions. The leaders advocated a stronger peacemaking role for the United Nations, especially endorsing Secretary General Boutros-Ghali's vision of a United Nations army. What do you think our military forces have been doing, huh? You're mad at us because we're patriots trying to defend our country on our own soil, and you hypocritical liars pat your children on the ass and send them off to Haiti to die to install a communist dictatorship. I am disgusted with all of you. But you're still my fellow Americans. Good night, and God bless you all, and may God save the Republic.
Welcome to the new world order. Never in human history has so few taken so much from so many as America's Illuminati and their warlords of Wall Street and Washington. In just 8 years, these banksters and international government gangsters took us from the greatest creditor nation to the largest debtor nation on Earth. Our standard of living has dropped like a rock for 4 out of every 5 Americans. They have foreclosed on our homes, our farms, our factories. They've exported your jobs and surrendered our arms.
A new world order. A new world order. A new world order. A new world order.
The Illuminati wants you to be a slave from birth to grave. The banksters own the Federal Reserve. It's private. They own it. It's neither federal nor a reserve. The cashists make that fiat funny money stuff you call dollars for 2 pennies. They lend it back to us at full face value. Then charge you interest. You get the debt. They get the interest. They get the gold. You get the shell.
They want
a new world order. A new world order.